Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
This is The Takeaway. I'm Todd Zwillick, filling in for John Hockenberry. Thank you so much for listening. And while Americans everywhere were enjoying the rocket's red glare on the 4th of July at the Pentagon and the State Department and the White House, they were dealing with rockets of another kind. The North Korean government of Kim Jong-un claimed, and it was later confirmed, to have launched its first intercontinental ballistic missile capable of reaching U.S. territory. Before the launch last week, President Trump signaled he was about to get tough with the North.
The era of strategic patience with the North Korean regime has failed. Many years, and it's failed. And frankly, that patience is over.
That was President Trump at the White House with South Korean President Moon Jae-in last week. The United States participated in a naval show of force in response with the South Korean military yesterday. Still, it's unclear what America's options are here if its patience is in fact over with North Korea. Here to explain what is currently known about the missile that North Korea launched and what our options might be is David Wright. He's co-director of the Global Security Program at the Union of Concerned Scientists. David, welcome to The Takeaway.
Nice to be here.
You are a physicist, right?
That's right.
If you were advising President Trump from a science perspective on this missile, on this launch, and what it says about North Korea's capabilities, what would you tell him?
Well, I would tell him that what we saw was something of a surprise in the sense that it happened pretty quickly after a previous launch, but that it's basically the next step in what missile engineers would do to try to increase the range of North Korea's missiles, and that we can expect that to continue. They clearly have the capability to keep building longer and longer range missiles and put nuclear weapons on top of them. So I would argue that something needs to be done now if they want to cap that capability.
Well, this was hailed as kind of a grave milestone, not only by North Korea, but by other countries, including the United States, who were observing here. Is it a real milestone? And if so, why?
You know, from a technical point of view, as I said, I think it's sort of the next step in what we have seen them being developing. So I would say it's not so much of a milestone technically. From a symbolic point of view, I would say it's a big deal to the United States. It's the first time that North Korea has had the ability to launch something that has the capability of reaching U.S. territory in the way that this one did. This could cover basically all of Alaska. Can't hit the west coast of the United States yet, but I think symbolically that's going to be a big deal.
Is that all you need, a rocket that can reach Alaska or California? I mean, what does it take to put a nuclear warhead on the tip of that missile?
Well, so the first thing you need is a missile that has the range. And then, as you say, the next thing you need is a warhead for it. We've seen North Korea over the past number of years do five underground nuclear tests. So they have the ability, and those tests have been showing, you know, more power. So we've seen that they have the ability to get a nuclear explosion, at least in a controlled situation. And then the question is whether they can make that small enough and rugged enough to put on a ballistic missile. There's some debate about that, but I think most experts believe that they're either at that point or are, you know, closing in on the point where they'd be able to do that.
So, David Wright, you said at the top, if you were advising President Trump, you would tell him that this all means that intervention is required now. Because of North Korea's march on the technology here. What does deterrence mean now that they have this bigger ICBM? Experts used to say, well, if we detect an imminent launch or rockets being fueled, we should be ready to strike with planes or with missiles. Is that operable anymore? What does it mean to do something now?
So I think that Kim Jong-un is despicable, but I think he's also rational. I think he is deterred. I don't think that he would wake up one morning and decide to fire a missile because he knows it would lead to retaliation that would destroy his country and his regime. So I guess there's two things. One, what I'm worried about is just as tensions ramp up, and sort of the bellicose nature, continues to increase, that there could be an accident, there could be a miscalculation, there could be something that causes an incident that is a disaster. The other thing I would say is that the Trump administration, like other administrations, realizes that there's no good military option for solving this problem. We don't know where all of their military facilities are. A lot of them are underground. And even if we attacked, that would likely lead to a conventional artillery attack on Seoul, which would be devastating. You know, Trump has wanted sort of appealed to China to fix this, but China's position for many years has been that this is fundamentally an issue between the U.S. and North Korea, and that those are the countries that are really going to, in the end, have to sit down and solve this. So my advice would be to find a way to sit down with North Korea, start informal talks to figure out how to lower the temperature and hopefully move forward.
So talks sound possible, David, right? They've been tried by multiple administrations in the past. I have to say that what you're describing, the different options, none of them sound like they're very good at this point.
Well, I would have to agree. And I think that's what sort of every administration has found with North Korea is there are no options that jump out as being, particularly enticing. But I think the idea of trying to engage with North Korea is the best one. And I think one thing that's been clear is that China and probably Russia, who are North Korea's sort of biggest backers, would support that. And so I think there's international support for moving forward with this that might make things better.
David Wright is co-director of the Global Security Program at the Union of Concerned Scientists. Dr. Wright, thank you.
Thanks for having me.